Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forever Lord. Holy is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Truth and the life, perfect Savior, the well that washed us white, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is the Lord.
Behold the way.
Behold the way, the truth and the life. Perfect Savior, the blood that washed us white, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore. Holy is
truth and the lie. Perfect Savior, the blood that washed us white, the God who was and is and shall be forever.
Holy is the Lord.
holiness.
Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Victory has a name, and he's Jesus.
Well, the word has a name, and it's Jesus. Yes, redemption has a name. He is Jesus.
Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus.
Whoa.
Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus.
King Holiness has a name.
Well, holiness has a name, and it's Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, victory has a name, and it's Jesus.
The Word.
The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Blessing and honor and glory.
Has a name, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Deliverance has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, I feel an anointing right now.
Hallelujah.
Joy has a name, and it's Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus has everything that we need this morning? Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and give the Lord praise in this place? Come on, honor him. Lift up your praise to the Father, your heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit. We lift up praise to you, Lord. We honor you. We magnify you in this house. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise you for being our deliverer. Praise you for being our king. Praise you for being our strong tower, for being our help. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. I could not get away from this passage. I felt the Holy Spirit just keep drawing me back every single time, and I feel like God is going to speak to us through this passage. Probably a familiar passage to many of you, but I never cease to get tired of this passage and its meaning for us. I've titled this message, Come Home to the Father. Amen. Come home to the Father. We're not going to read the scripture, but I want you to keep your Bibles open. I'll be referring to those verses of scripture as we go through this passage. The story of the prodigal son. You know, Luke tells us about two of the most famous sons in all the Bible. One, how many know it's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's all about him, isn't it, right? All about Jesus. But the other is the prodigal son we find here in this chapter of Luke 15. It is a classic story of the second chance. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who gives us a second chance? I'm so thankful that we serve a Father who is merciful and full of grace and compassion. It's a story of the second chance. And when I say second chance, I don't mean second chance and he's done. I mean his mercy endures forever. I'm talking about when you wake up tomorrow, you've got a new mercy and a new grace. It's being poured out upon your life. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. This story tells us much, probably as much, if not more, about God's mercy and grace than any other story in the Bible. But it also tells us much, if not more, about us than any other story in the Bible. It lets us know why it is so wonderful to realize that God will take extreme measures to get our attention and show us his love and bring us back to where we need to be when we err. Because our hearts are prone to wander. Our hearts are prone to err. We're prone to fall into things that we shouldn't do and go in places we shouldn't go. But aren't you thankful for the love of the Father that keeps drawing us back and keeps speaking into our spirit and saying, come home to the Father. The story begins with a son who evidently had a very good home. Godly parents, everything that you could want, certainly everything that you need. But somehow the root of ingratitude took a hold of his heart. How many of you know that we're living in a thankless society today? People are not thankful for what they have anymore. I want to tell you something. We are a blessed people. If you have a car to drive, how many of you know that you're a part of the 1% of the entire world that has a car? Can you imagine that? You are blessed. You have a good Father. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's always constant. He's always the same. He's always pouring out his love and mercy on us. We should give praise and honor and glory to the Father more now than ever before. He deserves our worship and our thanksgiving. This boy is tired of sowing corn in the country, so he's ready to sow his wild oats in the city, if you will. How many know sometimes we don't realize how good we've got it until it's gone? And the Bible says in verse number 12, look at it with me, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. He divided to them his livelihood. Now his son had not earned a dime of his father's money. He was a consumer, right? Not a producer. I told you a few moments ago how we're living in a generation of just thanklessness, just ingratitude. I want to say something to you young people today. You need to be thankful for what has been provided for you. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. You could be in a whole different situation. Amen? I pray that thankfulness would just take a hold of our hearts again, and godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. We should just be praising God for who he is and all that he has done for us. Now, normally the inheritance of an estate would not be given until the death of the father. But this son wanted his share of the inheritance immediately. What he was really saying to his father was, and I know this is harsh, I wish you were dead. I want what you have, but I don't want you. I want what you have, but I don't want you. So many people in this world are like this young man. They want everything God has to give. They want to breathe God's air. They want to enjoy God's food. They want to walk on God's earth. They want to enjoy God's world. How many of you know that this is his world? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. But they don't want God. not understanding and acknowledging that the earth, everything there is, it belongs to Him. I'm here to tell you today, we don't need just to worship the creation. We need to worship the Creator, the one who has provided everything that we have. We need to worship Him and honor Him. But notice that when the son asked his father for the share of the inheritance, the father gave it to him. He didn't have to. He didn't have to give him this inheritance. He was not under an obligation to do this. In fact, most Palestinian fathers would have done what we would have done today. We would say, do what? What did you just say? Go get a J-O-B. And matter of fact, you can go find somewhere else to live if you're going to make those kinds of demands on me. I believe in leaving an inheritance for your kids. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is we've got a generation today that's demanding things instead of asking for things, instead of being grateful for them, instead of waiting for them, instead of working hard, instead of getting a job and making a way for themselves. I'm here to tell you this. We've got to raise up a generation again that wants to work. Amen? There's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with the sweat of your brow. Get dirty. Get your hands dirty. Get the shovel out. Dig some ditches and work. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't be afraid to get some calluses on your hands, people. Amen. But notice that the Father gave it to him. There was no fighting that we know of, no arguing, no pleading, no debating. The wise father understood that the heart of his boy had been in the country far long enough and that he was going to leave anyway, sooner or later. See, nobody asked him to leave. Nobody forced him to leave. He wanted to leave. He left on his own. It was his fault that he got away from the father. How many of you know that it wasn't the father's fault? It was the son's fault. When you're away from the father, listen, when you're away from the father, how many of you know that it's not his fault? He's not the one that's left. He's not the one that's moved. If anybody's moved, it's you and me. And that's why he tells us in James 4 and 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I'm so thankful that the Father is not running away from us. He said, I'm right here. I haven't left. You're the one that's left. You're the one that's moved. I'm right here. I want you to come. I want you to come and be with me. I want to fellowship with you. I want you to get up in my lap. I want you to have fellowship. I want to have fellowship with you. The Heavenly Father will do all He can to get our attention because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as a train comes down the tracks, I believe He will lower the bar. He will begin to flash the lights. He will do everything He can to get our attention because He's a good Father. He does not want us to go down a path that will destroy us and bring destruction to our lives. And so with these flashing lights, He's saying, wait a minute, I'm your Father. I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Look to me as your Father. I will show you which way to go. But not only is it our fault when we're away from Him, if you choose to leave the Father, listen, if you choose to leave the Father, there is consequences to that. You will have failure. There will be some heartache. There will be some pain. How many of you know we reap what we sow? You see, for a while, this young man had a blast. Everything he saw, he wanted. Everything he wanted, he bought. He had it made. From the world's point of view, there's no telling what all he bought. There's no telling what all he did. How many of you know that sin is fun for a season? That's right. If there was no fun in sin, we wouldn't be enticed to do it. If there was no pleasure in sin, none of us would be tempted to get involved in it. Are you hearing me today, church? But here's the problem. Hebrews 11 and 25 says, talks about the passing pleasures of sin. That's right. It pays to serve the devil, but the devil always pays in counterfeit money. There are plenty of kicks in sin, but the kicks always have a kickback. Sin eventually leaves you feeling empty and sucks the life right out of you, feeling full of shame and misery. Why did I do what I did? Why did I get involved? Why did I go to that place? Why did I do that? Because sin never fulfills you. It will give you pleasure for a season, and then it will leave you empty and dry. That boy went up like a rocket and came down like a lead balloon. It was so fun. Sin is fun for a little while, but then it has a huge price tag associated with it. Verses 14 through 16, look at it with me. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land and began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Rock bottom. These verses tell us that his fortune was gone. His fun was gone. Food was gone. The friends were gone. Everybody was gone. How many of you know sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom before we realize, you know what? God may be trying to get my attention. Why does it take that for us sometimes? I'm going to put us all in that category. Why does it take that? Why? Because we think we can do it on our own. We think that we're sufficient in and of ourselves. I'm here to tell you something. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. We are made to depend upon God. He is our creator. We're made in his very image. He's the one who sustains us. He's the one who supplies our every need. He is a good father, but we have to look to him if we want our needs to be met. If you try to do it on your own, you're just asking for trouble. He's saying, why don't you just come to me? You talk about getting low, about failure. The most dishonorable person, Jew, the most dishonorable person a Jew could work for was a Gentile. And the most dishonorable animal that a person could work with was a pig because of how nasty it was. So here was a Jewish boy who once had everything. Listen, had everything. Now he's working for a Gentile slopping pigs. Where were his friends that he had partied with all night long, probably? Well, they had deserted him because they were fair weather friends. How many of you know that some people that say they're your friends are not your friends? We got some young people here this morning. Listen to me closely. When the party's over and the booze is gone and the drugs are gone and all that stuff is gone, you're going to look around you and you're going to be like, where'd everybody go? It's because they're not your friends. You better choose your friends carefully. Choose them carefully. I believe that God gives us, if we're open to his spirit moving in our lives and we seek him with our whole heart, I believe that God will give us. He'll give us two or three close friends in our lives that we can just trust with our whole life. Anybody have some friends like that? You can tell them something. You know it's not going to go any further. I'm here to tell you something. You find a friend that you can confide in and that you can bear your soul with and you can trust your life with. You have found a precious treasure in this world. If you got friends, you got something. Amen? Better choose your friends wisely. The only friends this boy had now were a bunch of pigs. I know the son didn't have all of this in mind when he walked out of the door of his father's house. I can guarantee you that. But he learned a hard lesson that every prodigal learns sooner or later. And I used to hear this concept when I was growing up in the church. And I certainly heard it from the previous pastor of this church who pastored, Daniel Allen, pastored for 16 years. And hard to believe, I'm in my almost 11 years of pastoring. But he said this phrase so many times, it has just been ingrained in my spirit. And I believe it's absolutely the truth. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. Are you hearing me? It'll keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. And it'll cost you more than you're able to pay. You better count the cost. You better count the cost, because I'm telling you, sin cost. It's painful. Does God forgive? Absolutely, He forgives. But I'm telling you, reap what you sow, and you still have to deal with the consequences of sin. So what I'm trying to tell you is I'm trying to beat you to it before it happens. Do not let the devil gain an upper hand in your life. Do not let him have a foothold in your heart. To protect your heart at all costs. To keep it with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And lastly, I don't intend to be long this morning. Your choice, listen, your choice to come back to the Father brings forgiveness and, listen, and restoration. Aren't you thankful that we have a Father who forgives us and He restores us? He restores us. Yeah, we still have to deal with the aftermath of sin and the consequences of sin, but aren't you thankful that from this day on, your life can be different? It's a clean slate. When you come to the Father and you seek His forgiveness and you receive His forgiveness and His love, it's a clean slate, and you can move forward in this loving relationship and peace and joy that you've maybe never known before. It's the peace of the Father. The Bible says in verse 17, but when He came to Himself, when He came to Himself, He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? It says He came to Himself. We would say today, He came to His senses. It's like the light switch was just turned on. How many of you know that it takes the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and our hearts to see where we are and what has happened in our lives? Wait a minute, why am I in this place? How did I get here? Why did I do what I did? Why am I in the place that I am in? Oh, God. I'm telling you, thankful. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, who knows how to knock on the door of our hearts and get our attention and show us what we need to see. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would knock on the door of your heart today and help you to see what you need to see, because you've got a good Father that doesn't want you going down the path of wrongdoing and the path of sin and the path of destruction, and it's destroying your life and destroying your family and destroying your marriage and destroying your children. I'm here to tell you today, you can stop that right now. You can break that power of sin over your life and over your family in the name of Jesus by coming to the Father with your whole heart. Seek Him with your whole heart. Turn to Him with everything that's within you, and He will restore you. In other words, while this boy was away from God, living in the pig pen of life, he wasn't even in his right mind. How many of you know that sin is a form of insanity? Sin is a form of insanity. I mean, it's really, think about it for a moment. Anyone in their right mind is not going to just trample over or ignore or reject the cross of Jesus Christ on which he died so that he could free you from the penalty of sin and give not only free you from the penalty of sin and give you eternal life, but give you the abundant life here and now while you're on this journey. Yes, there's difficult times. You're going to have tribulations, but I'm so thankful that he walks with us through them. Anybody in their right mind would not reject this offer of grace and peace. So we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and come to our senses and realize what we need the most is the Father. We need to come home to the Father. Isn't this what true repentance is? You've got to realize how wrong you are before you can have a vision of how right you can be. You've got to come to grips with where you are. You can't be delivered from something until you acknowledge there's a problem. Amen? You can't be saved from your sin until you realize that you are a sinner. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces and convicts that we are a sinner, that we do need a Savior. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work. I believe we ought to be praying more and more in our prayer. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. Work in our midst. Holy Spirit, convince and rebuke and exhort. Do your work, Holy Spirit, because people cannot be saved until the Spirit of God begins to knock on the door of their heart and convince them that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe he's doing that here this morning. He's saying to some of you, you've been going your own way, doing your own thing, but now it's time to come home to the Father. Because he's got his arms open wide. He's saying, come home. Come home. Come home. 2 Corinthians 7 and 8 says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He said, even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance. I want you to say that with me. Godly sorrow produces repentance. One more time. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Leading to salvation. Leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. There's two kinds of sorrow. There's a sorrow of the world, and there's a sorrow that comes from God that produces repentance. And that's what happened with this man in this story. You look at verse 18 and 19. He said, I will arise. Hallelujah. I will arise, and I will go to my Father. And I will say to him, some of you can say that here today, need to say, I will arise and go to my Father. Woo, hallelujah. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. That sounds like repentance to me. That sounds like confession and repentance. I have sinned before heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The homing instinct had kicked in on this young man, and he wanted to go home. How many of you know there's no place like home? Hallelujah. No place like home. Home ought to be a place of safety and peace. Unconditional love. And acceptance. Does it mean that your home should be everything's permissible, do whatever you want to do? That's not what I'm saying. It should be a place of direction and instruction, but also a place of unconditional love and grace. I've told my sons this a number of times, no matter what you do, no matter where you go in this world, you've got a mother and a father who loves you unconditionally. We want you to do what's right and walk in the light of truth and do the things that we've taught you. But if you don't, our love for you will not stop. We will continue to love you. We will continue to pray for you. It's an unconditional love. And you can always come home to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen? That's the kind of Father that we serve. He says, you can always come home to me. I don't care where you've been and what you've done and how dirty you've become in your life. I'm here to tell you, you just come to me. You just come as you are. You just come in the situation you find yourself in, and I will love on you just the way you are. Aren't you thankful that God says, come as you are? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I want you to get all cleaned up. He didn't say, I want you to do this or to do that. He said, just come as you are. He didn't bathe. He didn't change clothes. He didn't shave. He just came as he was. I love that song. Come just as you are. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come receive. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Come to the Father. If that boy had said, I'm not going to my dad until I get cleaned up. I'm not going back until I get on my feet financially. I'm not going back until I can take back what I took to begin with. He would have died in the pig pen. But he came just as have you ever heard people say things like that? Well, when I get my life straightened out, I'll come back to church. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that. If I just had the right clothes to wear, you ever heard that one? I just don't have the right kind of clothes to come to church. What a cop out. That's a lie from hell. And it's also a part of church tradition, if you will, over the years. It's kind of tricked people into thinking that, you know, if I just had the right church clothes. Well, let me tell you what the right church clothes are. The right church clothes are modest clothes. They're modest clothes. For years, we told people you had to wear a certain thing in order to be holy. That wasn't holy. For people who've been living in the pig pen, they don't need to hear you got to wear a certain thing in order to come to church. What they need to hear is unconditional love from you. Come just as you are. Come just as you are. Are you hearing me? That's what they need to hear. Jesus didn't tell you, get all cleaned up before you come to me. He said, come just as you are. And when you come just as you are, he don't leave you the way you are. He cleans you up. He sanctifies you. He fills you with his precious power. He writes on you a new name. Hallelujah. He gives you a new nature. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Come just as you are. Well, I just got to get this figured out in my life, Pastor. I've got to get this straightened out. No, what you need to get straightened out is that you're going to come to Jesus right now, that you're going to come to the Father right now, just in the situation you're in. Bring all your baggage, bring all your junk, bring all your pain, bring everything to him. He already knows about it anyway. So say, here I am, Father. I pray that you would work in me. Holy Spirit, work in your life. Work in my life, Lord. Hallelujah. We reach the climax of this story. In verse number 20, look at it. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him. I'm here to tell you today the Father sees you. You thought he was looking elsewhere, but he had his eye on you the whole time. A father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That verse never fails. Pull on the emotional strings of my heart, because I got this picture of the Father running. Some of you need to get that picture in your head today. The Father, your Heavenly Father, is running towards you today. Hallelujah. He's not running. You never see in Scripture the Father running from us. We always see in Scripture the Father running to us. We see plenty of examples in the Scripture of people running from God. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't run from us? Well, I just don't think He would run to me because I'm not worthy. He must not know what I've done. He must not know where I've been. He must not know what the things I've encountered in my life. Yes, He does. He saw it all, and it broke His heart. But I'm here to tell you, He loves you so much. He loves you so much, He's not going to give up on you. So He just keeps running after you. Oh, how somebody needs to lift up praise of the Lord in this. He just keeps running after you. He just keeps running after you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Can you imagine how dirty and how filthy and how smelly that boy was? But Daddy didn't care. How many of you know that love overlooks a whole lot of things? Love covers a multitude of sins. Love can stop up the stench in your nose. That's what love can do. It can say, you know what? Go ahead and sit beside me. Go ahead, you can have my seat in church, even though I've sat in this pew for how many years you've been sitting there. How many of you know that that ain't your pew? That ain't your pew. It's God's pew. And we should have the attitude, if somebody comes in that doesn't never been here before, and if they're sitting in your seat, then you know what? Let them sit there. You go find somewhere else. Go find somewhere else. You know what? If it's me, I'll sit in the floor if it allows somebody else to hear the Word of God. We got to get over this entitlement attitude that this is mine, this is mine. No, it's all God's, and we're just privileged to be a part of it while we're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 21, I'm trying to wrap this up. The son tried to confess, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He was willing to work as a hired servant. But I don't even believe he could get those words out. Because the Father is so busy with compassion, He doesn't have time for confession. Doesn't it bless you to see the Father never brought up the past? I can't believe you asked for your inheritance. I can't believe you looked away. What in the world you been doing, boy? Who you been hanging out with, boy? He just said, son, I'm glad you're home. It's good to see you, son. The sins of the son had been buried in the grave of forgiveness and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Because when you come back to God, what you find is forgiveness. What you find is a God who loves you and has compassionate towards you and just wants to wrap His arms around you and say, thank you for coming home, son. I missed you. You may be a prodigal sitting in this service listening by the way of the internet. Or listening to a CD, or let me tell you three lessons real quickly to never forget that Jesus wants you to know from this story. No matter how far you have gone, you can come back. Say amen, somebody. No matter how far you have gone, you can come back. No matter how far you have gone, you can come in. No matter how far you have gone, you can come up. There is restoration. There is healing available in the name of the Lord Jesus. May we never cast stones at one another. May we never hold things over people's lives, but may we seek to be aids of restoration. He said, restore gently those who have fallen. If any man is caught in a trespass, he said, restore them gently, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because I'm here to tell you today, none of us are immune from falling, so we've got to treat one another with grace and with mercy and open our arms up like the Heavenly Father and say, come on in. Come on in. I'm going to ask the praise team to come, and we're going to sing a song. And while we're singing it, I want you to come to the Father. Come to the Father. I woke up this morning with this song in my spirit. I text Pastor Tommy and I said, I'm sorry for this late notice, but I feel like the Spirit of God wants us to sing this song. It was actually written about 20 years ago, but he had never heard it before, so he gets on CCO Live and gets it together right quick. Aren't you thankful for a music pastor who has that ability? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And the words of the song say, come to the Father. Though your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all. The power of your word and the power of your blood. Everything was done so you would come. Amen. We're going to sing that, if you'll put the words on the screen. You know it, sing it with us. But listen closely. And as we're singing, why don't you come and make your way to this altar this morning. Just come to the Father. Whether you're coming for the first time to know Him as Lord and Savior, or whether you just want to come and spend some time with your Father, because He's calling your name. Come. Come to the Father. Prodigals, come to the Father. Come home. Come home to Jesus. He's waiting with open arms.
Before the world began, you were on His mind. And every tear you cried is precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son. Everything was done so you would come.
Listen to this.
Nothing you can do could make Him love you more. And nothing that you've done could make Him close the door. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son. And everything was done so you.
Why don't you come to the Father this morning?
Come to the Father. Though your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. Will the power of the Word, the power of His blood, everything was done so you would come. Oh, come to the Father. Small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. Will the power of the Word, the power of His blood, and everything.
Would you stand and sing it with me? Hallelujah. Let's come to the Father.
Come to the Father. Though your gift is small, Broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. Oh, the power of the Word, the power of His blood. Everything was done so You would come.
Could that verse number two, if you will. Nothing You can do, this is for somebody, could make Him love You more. And nothing that You've done could make Him close. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because of His great love, He gave His only Son. And everything was done so You would come.
Hallelujah.
Come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. Well, the power of the Word, the power of His blood, everything was done so You would come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. The power of the Word, the power of His blood, everything was done so You would come.
Listen, I felt like the Spirit just said, ask My people, is there anything they need restored in your life? You need something restored, I want you to lift your hand. Come on, lift your hand and lift it up. You need something restored in your life.
Hallelujah.
That's lots of hands going up. Hallelujah. Do you believe that He's a God of restoration? I said, do you believe that He's a God of restoration? You see that person's hand beside of you, I want you to reach over and touch them and pray for them in the name of Jesus right now. You're welcome to come to the altar if you'd like to, but God can touch you where you are in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that's lifted their hands this morning, I pray for total and complete restoration in their life in the name of Jesus. I know that it's not always instantaneous, but I praise You. Even in the gradual progression of it, You are the healer. You are the restorer. Hallelujah. We give You the glory and the praise. Thank You that what the enemy has intended for harm and destruction, God, You're turning it around for our good and for Your glory. You are the one who's restoring us. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God of restoration. Would You just praise the God of restoration right now? Praise You for being my restorer, Lord. Restoring me, reviving me, healing me. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time.
Oh, come to the Father. Though Your gift is small, broken hearts, broken lives, He will take them all. Oh, the power of the Word, the power of His blood, everything was done so You would come. The power of the Word, the power of His blood, everything was done so You